This is Dr. Nick. I'm live from HIMSS 2019 on Healthcare Now Radio. And we are live streaming from Nuance, booth 3345. And we are delighted to be welcoming a new guest onto the program, Dr. John Mattison. He is the assistant director for Kaiser Permanente, and delighted to have yet another physician. We're on a roll with physicians for the show. John, thanks for joining me today.
Oh, my pleasure, Nick. Good to see you again.
Always a pleasure. You and I have long had interactions. I know you've been in this space and indeed
since the Bronze Age.
Really?
Yeah.
I feel a little bit like that too. and you've seen lots of things going on, lots of experiences. I've certainly heard lots of your presentations as you've sort of thought about the future and where things are going. Before we get into that, I wanted to just get a little bit of perspective for the listeners. Hear a little bit about you, who you are and how you got to the place where you are and your sort of perspective on the technology journey.
Sure. Well, I like to describe myself as a recovering marine biologist and evolutionary biologist. And then I went to medical school and now I'm practiced in a number of different specialties and I'm a recovering physician. And I have written code and designed a number of systems we've taken to scale at Kaiser Permanente, where I've been chief medical information officer. And so I'm now a recovering geek.
And do you ever recover from that?
No.
I hope not.
Recovery is an ongoing process.
Okay.
Yeah. And so now I'm recovering from being CMIO. So I'm actually beginning to live a new dream. And the new dream for me is I'm going to be working with some of the smartest folks I've had the privilege of meeting during my career and helping to accelerate product development through various roles in a variety of different venues. So I'm my passion is around really creating a behavioral symphony of wellness to overcome all of the negative environmental cues that we have for our health and fitness. And to do that through the use of modern technology and restore some of the ancient wisdom as represented in things like the Blue Zones, where we realize that you don't need necessarily the latest pharmaceutical or the latest surgery to have good health. So there's a lot more involved in good health than that. So how to leverage this glorious convergence of exponential technologies in ways that help restore ancient wisdom and genuinely produce health and happiness as opposed to reactive disease care. So I'm stepping into a very new role in that I'm going to be much more directly involved with the development of new technologies and the convergence of those technologies.
So there's a lot to unpack there that I want to dig into a little bit. So you talk about the sort of ancient wisdom, and part of me feels like, for a long time, humanity was pretty good at some of this stuff, maybe, we've sort of failed. So interested in your perception and, what's being applied there. There's the whole CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy, and making the right choices. But let's start on the Blue Zones, because one of the things that's really intriguing to me about those is when you look at them, you can't pull out single things or, groups of, this is what we do. What's going on?
You just nailed it, Nick. that is the problem, is that healthcare is trying to solve population care and disease management purely through a healthcare lens. The educational system is trying to solve education purely through an educational lens. The legal system is dealing with issues purely through a legal lens. The first responders are looking at things through their lens. The social workers are looking at it through their lens. And historically, our communities have been very siloed. And the beauty of the ancient wisdom has been that we've been much more integrated in our communities and much more integrated in our thinking about what constitutes a healthy life and what constitutes a meaningful life. And what I'm passionate about and have been all along is how do we bring together, how do we catalyze and stimulate and create communities around health so that there's coordination, because many of these problems associated with the diseases and disorders of lifestyle, starting off with obesity, but running straight into diabetes, heart disease, cancer, stroke, dementia, Alzheimer's, those are all intimately scientifically connected with disorders of lifestyle. How do we, rather than try and solve these piecemeal through each of those silos, how do we begin thinking about healthy communities that generate health? And the author, Dan Buettner of Blue Zones, has just published his latest book of Blue Zones of Happiness. And he's looked at cities around the world to see what are the things that constitute the infrastructural aspects and the cultural aspects of healthy communities. And so I think there's a huge opportunity there, to, just like we're seeing here at HIMSS, in the convergence of exponential technologies towards much more powerful solutions, we're starting to see the movement that I would like to help catalyze, and that is around the convergence of community resources towards a behavioral symphony of wellness, so that instead of seeing a billboard that says, you deserve a break today, go eat a Big Mac, there will be much more healthier cues. And I think that there are ways that other cultures have done this, both way back in history as well as contemporaneously. And I think that we have a golden opportunity. And I think 2019 is a pivot year. I think we're seeing an awakening to the fact that all these siloed solutions, whether it's in technology or community resources or smart cities, that the siloed approach is not going to get us where we want to go. It is the convergence. And so both at the technology level and at the community level, I think the opportunities are just glorious.
So interesting you bring up the blue zones of happiness. I wonder, I'm willing to bet that Denmark is high on that list. There was a corresponding book that sort of looked at that. A year of living
Denmark.
Danishly.
Denmark has done some really astonishing. They don't call people unemployed there. They're between jobs.
Right.
And there's whole constructs.
What a simple idea, right? Yeah,
exactly. And what's in a name? What's in a word? A lot.
Yeah.
And so how we, this is not about words, but words are a manifestation of deeper thinking and deeper sentiment and deeper value sets. And so depriving people of dignity is one of the things that this siloed approach has inadvertently delivered. And so I think a lot of the conflict that we see on the global stage and the polarization we see on the global stage is a direct consequence of not listening to each other, not paying attention to our common values, not reinforcing our common values, and reaching across cultural and philosophical boundaries and creating more coherent solutions.
So is your concept in part digital blue zones? Can we create communities in the same way and make them digital and have the same
Not so much. I think that technology is always a tool, and technology can be a catalyst and facilitator, absolutely. But structurally, it must be based upon human principles, human behaviors, human values, and then the technology be aligned with those values in ways that conform to a social construct that is inclusive, particularly that focuses on early childhood experiences. So Frederick Douglass has famously said, it is much easier to create strong, resilient children than it is to repair broken men.
Yeah.
And so in this community-based approach, we really need, if you look at the 18-19% of GDP being spent on disease care in the United States, if a fraction of that were reallocated to building healthy habits in young children, better parenting skills in parents for how to build resilience into their children, how to give them the healthy habits that are evident in the blue zones and the blue zones of health and blue zones of happiness, then I believe, and there's an economist at the University of Chicago who's actually studied this and shown a 7x return on investment for early childhood development and investment. And so we can't abandon the kind of care that we can deliver for people who are already sick. But at the same time, if we don't see a systematic shift in resources towards investing in our children, we are just going to be chasing our tails forever with better technology, but nonetheless remaining a disease care state. So back to your question, are these going to be digital health communities? They'll be digitally augmented communities of health and wellness and happiness. And I think that there are experiments going on around the world and around the country right now. And I think that to the extent that we can apply some of the fruits of our labors in the digital technology revolution, particularly around the convergence of technologies, in support of, in alignment with those kinds of healthy communities. I think we're gonna see a pivot in how we conceive of health itself that is long overdue.
2019, pivot here.
Absolutely.
Pivot year. You heard it here first.
Just saying.
Prediction. So let's talk a little bit about CBT, behavioral therapy, and you know, those nudges.
Right.
You know, one of the sort of recurring themes I always have is, you know, people don't get up in the morning going, "How can I be unhealthy? How am I not going to exercise?" And we know there's all of these impacts. How do we change that? What's been your sort of experience and potential to sort of turn that around?
We need
a 180, right?
Right. And so we can't boil the ocean and fix everybody's problem overnight.
Yeah.
But one of the things that's really inspired me is the work done by Nicholas Christakis and James Fowler in the book Connected. And what they looked at is the propagation of so-called non-communicable diseases like obesity and unhealthy habits through social networks. And they behave as if they were a virus.
It's extraordinary, isn't it?
To classify them as non-communicable is really misleading because they're very communicable diseases.
Right. Yeah.
And so I think what we need to do is we need to be able to build beachheads and seed communities with a very tightly reinforced integration of services, particularly focused on children, and then begin to grow that out and scale it. We don't know how to scale this yet. There are lots of interesting and encouraging experiments that haven't been scaled. But one of the things that I'm really fascinated by is applying the same kind of rigor, discipline, science, and research to how do you scale community wellness and a behavioral symphony of wellness, starting off with existing communities and bringing the coordination, collaboration, and the technical underpinning support to create the core of a healthier existence where your behavioral cues are much more aligned with your own values and objectives and priorities, so that you're not waking up in the morning thinking, "I'm going to be healthy today," and just get barraged with unhealthy cues all day long. That's just not the solution set that works. That's what we have. What we need to do is to be able to create at scale many more opportunities for just like we say in clinical decision support, make the right thing to do the easiest thing to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we need, at a community level, we need to make the healthiest and the kindest thing to do the easiest thing to do. So the whole notion of placing more value on meaning and purpose and kindness and respect and collaboration at the community level is going to help reinforce our first thought in the morning is, "I want to live a really healthy day today."
Right.
And rather than pummel it with, "You deserve a break today, go eat a Big Mac," we will reinforce it with many more healthy messages about healthy sleeping, healthy socialization, healthy eating, healthy exercise. And when we do that, when we can achieve that at scale in one community, we will hopefully be able to replicate that community after community after community. And like Tip O'Neill once said, all politics is local. Well, all change is local. And all transformation is local. But that being said, and the necessity of local leadership is critical, there are going to be formalisms about how you make it easier for inspired communities to achieve their goals faster, more safely, more efficiently, and more inexpensively through the use of some of these augmenting technologies.
So I clearly love that whole concept. I think we're in desperate need, and I complete agreement with that need to sort of find those communities and the community. One thing I just want to sort of put my stake in the ground, is sleep. And you talk about the sort of waking up, but in fact, that's part of the continuum, my view. And, you know, the idea that sleep is just a pillar is, I think, false. I think it's the foundation of health and, you know, is an integral part of that. And you mention it, but I see it as a sort of, you know, real key element to all.
Well, there's pretty incontrovertible scientific evidence that if you're not getting regular sleep, you will weigh more. You will put on the pounds and have all the consequences of that. So it's not just diet and exercise. Sleep is included. But I'd also like to highlight what is frequently neglected, and that is the health of our social relationships. So Carnegie Mellon did a fantastic study a couple of years ago, published in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, where they took hundreds of students and they exposed them all to the same dose of a virus, cold virus, and to see who would get sick and how sick they would get. And then they took their Facebook timeline and they gave them a questionnaire about the social support structures. And what was fascinating is, predictably, those that had good social support structures were more resilient and resistant to getting infected. And if they did get a cold, their symptoms were less. But in addition to that, if they looked at their timeline, the more hugs they had had in the prior 2 weeks, the less likely they were to get sick or be sicker than their those who did get sick in the cohort. And one of the fascinating things is that when you have a healthy social support infrastructure, you're much more resilient to stress. So you could be under more stress than someone without that support structure and be less at risk of getting sick than they are. So more stress but a healthier support structure, you're better off than less stress without a healthy social support structure.
Fantastic stuff. John, I want to thank you for making the time. I know you're a busy guy at this show. There's lots going on. So thank you for joining us here on Healthcare Now Radio, live from HIMSS 2019.
My pleasure. Thanks, Nick.
So this is Dr. Nick. I'm the Incrementalist. We're here live at HIMSS 2019. That was Dr. John Matheson, we are now joined by Jake O'Leary. He is the Senior Vice President of Healthcare Research and Development at Nuance. Jake, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me, Nick.
So for those of the folks that are listening, it's always helpful. I've had the privilege of knowing you and some of your background, but be helpful to understand a little bit about you, the individual, what got you to this point and this role within the organization.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Nick, I've been with Nuance for a little over 10 years now in a leadership roles inside of R&D. As you said, I currently run R&D for the healthcare division. Prior to joining Nuance, I was also inside of healthcare in an R&D leadership role. I was at an EMR company. And I started my career through computer science and got my degree in computer science. And I worked at some early stage companies, and I worked at a startup company for quite a long time. And I had a lot of experience working in that type of environment. And then I started working in larger companies, in the EMR company, and then inside of Nuance at a much larger scale. And I think, you know, over the years, through my experiences, you know, what got me here today is obviously just I think a passion for healthcare, actually, and a passion for technology. I've always had the passion for technology, and then when I started working in the healthcare space, I realized I actually also have a passion for healthcare, which was pretty cool.
And I think we all do, because it's personal, right?
Yeah, it is personal. So, here I am, and inside of Nuance, it's been a great journey and a great experience and run here, right? I mean, where do you get the opportunity to work with within healthcare and with such, you know, a great number of professionals with experience and passion inside of healthcare? But as a technologist, we have a vast community of technologists inside of research, a research organization that I personally never had experience with prior to joining a company like Nuance. That actually do real deep, long-term research trying to advance the state of the art of technology. And that's something that's, you know, that's pretty cool. It's pretty real. Now it's become the new normal for me, right? And trying to influence that and lead that in the company. And obviously here we are today with all the technologies we're showing in the booth. It's a great time to be a technologist, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So tell us a little bit about the journey of, you know, that innovation. You've obviously been in this space, watching the changes, watching certainly the challenges that we've seen. I know it's not been easy. I'm interested to understand, were there some inflection points? Were there some learning points where you go, whoa, wow, that really made a difference?
Yeah. So the journey. So there's a couple of things about the journey that stand out to me. One is, if I look back in time, the journey around innovation seemed to take much longer. Mm-hmm. It happened over a course of years. And as we compare and contrast that to today, things are happening in a period of months, right? As technologists, the technology that we're working with is constantly changing at a much faster pace than ever. And then as a software company, we're putting out technology at a much faster pace, as is the industry, than ever. And so advances that, you know, took Nuance decades to, you know, ultimately bring speech to the masses. Now we're at a point where we're bringing other forms of AI and intelligence to the masses, and it's going to be over a period of a couple of years, right?
Right.
But these technologies are advancing. And that's just a factor of, you know, the state of technology, the state of transformation across, you know, technology and different companies, and the introduction of cloud and AI is exploding, the availability of data. And so the world is moving much faster, and luckily technology is as well.
So as you look at those elements that contribute, how important is that availability of data? Is that a major feature, or is it just a sort of, it's a passing element of all of this?
No, I mean, it doesn't take much to, you know, read about AI these days and machine learning and the dependency on data. And, you know, I think we've taken some of that for granted inside of Nuance because of our deep experience working with data and familiarity with that and those types of techniques, leveraging data, as well as our broad network of hospitals and customers that we work with who trust us with their data and working with them. And so we're able to use that data to advance the technologies like no other. We've been doing that for many, many years.
Right.
And so now all of a sudden that we find ourselves with a whole new set of technologies that need to be built in AI, the fact that those are data dependent is nothing new to us. And we don't take it for granted. And in fact, we all know that data is king, right? And so we value it, and we value our relationships and those partnerships that we have with our hospitals and our providers.
Yeah, so and it's interesting, having been involved in this for a long time as well, so part of me thinks that, you know, this concept of AI is really just a natural progression for something that's been going on for a long time in the Nuance space. That NLP was essentially a version of AI, right?
Yeah, we've been doing, I mean, this is going back to your point about innovation. This has been part of our journey, and AI has been part of our journey. Look, we've been trying to bring NLP inside of healthcare for many years. We tried a decade ago, more than that, and it wasn't the right time. It failed, right? And that's innovation, right? We brought it forward. There was failures. The market wasn't right. The technology wasn't right. The needs weren't right, you know, for the providers. And here we are years later now, all of a sudden, where it seems to be the perfect time for technologies like NLU, because there's all these use cases. There's all these opportunities to bring this forward. The technology's matured. I think the general market's awareness and appreciation has kind of opened up as well. And so here we are now bringing technologies like NLU that we've been working on for many, many decades and using across a bunch of different verticals inside of Nuance.
Right. Yep.
Now we're bringing it to bear inside of healthcare. And it's nothing new to us. It's just a matter of it's the right time.
But why did it take so long?
Yeah. I wish I had that answer.
Don't worry, everybody's the same. You know.
Yeah, there is no right answer. I think, you know, like what are the right use cases, right? What are the right opportunities and intersecting that with the problems that doctors were facing at that point in time or providers were facing at that point in time? And where was the state of maturity of all the other technologies that are being thrown at doctors and all the other, you know, constraints that are put on doctors? And I think we've now reached an inflection point where everything's kind of come to a head. There's plenty of opportunities for problems to solve.
Yep.
I think there's a base level set of technology maturing that's happened. Everyone's comfortable more or less with the cloud and trusting the cloud. Well, that's the perfect time now to leverage technologies like NLU that need to take advantage of data, massive processing. That stuff needs to happen in the cloud. I think, you know, the market overall is comfortable with that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's just one, you know, one way.
Fantastic.
I think about it.
So we've got a couple of minutes left. Just get your thoughts about some of the innovation, you know, that we're seeing today. It is pretty cool. We've heard from a stream of clinicians, internal, external. I think, you know, the prevailing view is, wow. Tell me your thoughts about that.
Yeah. So my thoughts about it. So I agree. It's wow. Right? It's wow. It's
Well, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, look, my thoughts are it's invigorating, right? It is driving a passion inside the organization, inside of Nuance, where there's a strong belief, there's a commitment to seeing this vision through to the end. It's charging the entire organization. and giving us a new outlook on our mission and on our passion and why we are here and what's the next chapter for Nuance, going beyond speech. And so I personally connect to that story as well. I think it's done the same for me as a leader, as an individual, and as a technologist, where it's reignited me. It's given me more passion. The teams have passion. And so that's a big part of it for me. And yeah, now we've got to get it done, and we've got to deliver on that commitment. We've got to deliver on the vision. I don't think, you know, walking around the showroom floor, seeing all the different vendors, understanding where everyone is, we're in the perfect position to help solve these problems, Nuance, because our access to data, our access to the technology that we have. I mean, the technology that we're showing downstairs in the vision with ACI, those are technologies that we've had, Nuance has, across our various businesses, right? Voice biometrics, where we're actually doing speech diarization, where we're understanding the patient versus the doctor. Those technology we have in the car, we're bringing all these technologies to bear. Speech, medical domain, no one does it like Nuance. These things are all coming together, right? And it's perfect for us to stitch it together now and bring these solutions to the market. So it's awesome. It's exciting. And I feel a little honored to actually be a part of it.
That's very cool. So just remains for me to thank you for taking the time. I know you're busy. There's lots going on. Very excited about the journey. Certainly the passion that we can feel. Certainly seeing it in some of the discussions. Thanks for joining me today,
Jim. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for joining me today. Do you have any better ideas, or have you found a small incremental change that's brought about a big improvement in your world? Let's continue the conversation on our hashtag, The Incrementalist, or share with me at DrNick1 on Twitter. You can find more information about the show on our program page at healthcarenowradio.com. And tune in next time to hear my discussions with leaders and innovators from around the globe who've revolutionized their space by using small incremental improvements to achieve their moonshot. I'm Dr. Nick, the Incrementalist, and I'm starting a revolution through evolution.